Well, let me welcome everyone who's with us. I know we do have visitors, and I'll join in with Bill and welcome you to the church that meets here. We would appreciate it if you fill out a visitor's card for us. We'd like to have a record of you being here, and we're grateful for that. Glad you're here, and I hope we make you feel welcome. I'm sure that people have probably already done that. And this morning, as we go through the lesson, and this will be very much a lesson in which we go to the Bible, and we look at some Bible verses, as we return to our theme and begin a new quarter. If you are here and you have questions about not only this lesson, but anything we've said or practiced, we welcome and appreciate you asking about that. Love to sit down and talk about the Bible, and we'd love to do that together with you. So this morning, as I said, we're beginning a new emphasis, the fourth and final step, step number four in our theme, the man in the mirror. And we'll talk about those four steps in just a second. But our emphasis this quarter is going to be on changing from glory to glory. And I'm excited about this quarter because this is what we've been building up to. I love this passage I have in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll talk about both chapters 3 and 4 in a little bit later. But I've loved this passage for years and years. And it is something that is very powerful to me. And I'm going to talk about a number of things, and I'm going to introduce several of those ideas, at least, this morning, though we will by no means say everything about them. But change from glory to glory. Let's get into talking about the theme. You may remember in quarter number one, our emphasis was to gaze into the mirror. That is, we would look at the mirror of God's Word. We'll mention that several times. But we would take an honest look at ourselves. I'm going to look at myself. I'm going to see exactly where I am. I'm going to do that analysis of myself. But somebody a long time ago called it a SWOT analysis, in which you look at your strengths, your weaknesses, the opportunities you have for positive change, and you also look at threats, and you're very honest and diligent about what threatens positive change in your life. In quarter number two, we talked about reinforcing all of that by not just looking at the Word of God, but really internalizing it. The idea of receiving, as James says, the engrafted Word, where it begins to grow and becomes a very natural part of you. Letting the Word of God take root in my heart and thus guide my life, and especially to guide it through these changes I'm trying to make. We just concluded a quarter in which we emphasized remembering. So we had a lot of lessons, very practical lessons upon what to do to stay on course, to remember, to recall, as it were, from the Word of God, that I am a Christian every day. Not just when I walk in here on Sunday, or perhaps on Wednesday evening, or at other times we gather. Not just at those times, but every day in the trenches of life, so to speak, when I'm by myself, when I'm with other people, I'm a Christian. And these changes that I'm making are part of my diligence in being a Christian. Later in the quarter, we're going to focus upon the whole idea of sacrifice, the whole idea of yielding yourself to God. And this is the idea of recalling what motivates me to sacrifice, to give so much, to be everything I need to be. Well, because I am a Christian. That's what I am. And that's what I want to remember. Now, all of that together has been leading us to step number four, and that is to change. To change from glory, literally into or unto glory in 2 Corinthians 3. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But the idea of progressing, and here's the whole idea of getting better and better, stronger and stronger, greater and greater, and more glorious and more glorious. The idea of changing from glory to glory, progressing to be more like Christ by doing the Word of God. Let's break that down and talk about it a little further. Look with me, if you will, at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, or you can just simply look at it up here. Let's break this verse. This is our key verse. This is where we're taking step number four. Now, you notice we've moved from James 1, and now we're looking at 2 Corinthians 3. And here's what I'll be emphasizing, and Wes will be emphasizing during this quarter. Moses. There's a lot about Moses there. I'm not going to talk about it right now. Paul says in verse 18, we all, I think he means every Christian, all Christians, with unveiled face, beholding as it were. Here's the whole idea. I'm going to gaze into the mirror. I'm going to take note of the changes I need to make. And I'm going to make those changes. We've concluded I have every single one of these lessons by quoting from that song made popular by Michael Jackson, of course. I'm going to make that change. I'm starting with the man in the mirror, beholding as in a mirror. And I've often said it, the mirror of God's Word. What do we see when we look in the mirror? Someone might say we see ourselves. We do. But more than anything else throughout the Word of God, what we see is the glory of the Lord. As TJ was up here and he was talking about the Lord's Supper, I hope that as you reflected upon the body and the blood and the sacrifice and the gift of Jesus Christ, and I was listening as TJ was talking about the idea of what he went through, quote unquote, what he went through physically and mentally, what moves a being to be like that? No question but that God alone in His greatness is this glorious. We see the glory of the Lord. We are not that glorious. We are not gods. No one in this room is as glorious as Jesus Christ. We see the glory of the Lord, and it changes us. Notice as Paul says it, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image. We're going to talk more and more this quarter about the idea of being Christ-like. We use that term. It's thrown around a lot. What does it mean to be Christ-like? We're going to really talk about that. Transformed into the same image. And notice as Paul uses an ellipsis here, from glory into glory. If we were to write this out in English, we would say from glory into glory, dot, dot, dot. And what that means literally is, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory into glory into glory into glory into glory, and on it goes all of our lives. Even as from the Spirit of the Lord. The power we have, the change that we need to make, the power we have to do that comes from the Spirit of the Lord. It literally is reproduced in the Bible, the mirror that we stare at, that we look at, that we stand before. God has given us this Word. It is a direct reflection of Him, His mind, His thinking, His ability to change us by the written Word. It has been said that the written Word is the most powerful weapon on earth. And it doesn't matter if you're talking about the Bible or anything else. It is the written Word that so changes people. If you want to move a people to hatred of another people, you put out propaganda that teaches them to do that. By reading that and internalizing that, they will hate. And we see that. We've seen evidence of it even in the past few weeks, of how strong that can be. Well, if you want to change, and you want to grow into the image of Jesus Christ, if you want to be glorious, as it were, if you want the glory of the Lord, here's where it is. And you and I go to the mirror of God's Word that comes directly from Him, and we change. Let's step back for a second and let's talk about all of us that are in here. At some time in our adult life, I love stick men, so you're going to see stick men at this court. At some time in our life, this is what we are. We're an individual, we're an adult individual, or at least growing into adulthood and becoming aware, questioning, thinking. And we begin to learn some things. A number of passages begin to stand out in our minds, and I'm going back to the night I made the decision to be a Christian. And looking at these very verses, I started with Mark 16 and verse 16. And in that passage, if you want to open to it, this is exactly what Jesus said. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. I had not been baptized, therefore I knew that I was lost. That's a realization that we all come to at some point in our adult life. I am not saved. I'm lost. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, we are taught, you remember on the day of Pentecost, the people realized they had been part of crucifying the very Son of God. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, verse 37, that that same Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. Verse 36. Verse 37, they answered Peter, men and brethren, what shall we do? In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter answered them and said, repent, every one of you, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or forgiveness of sins. I knew I was lost. I had not been baptized and had my sins taken away. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, as Peter is comparing to the building of the ark and how that Noah and his family had faith to build an ark and get into an ark, and literally to be inside that ark while the floods sent from God destroyed the whole world. Peter says, you know, in a similar fashion, you have to have that kind of saving faith. You have to do what God says do to be saved. And in fact, in verse 21 of 1 Peter 3, the like figure, that is corresponding to Noah, the like figure whereunto even baptism does also now, in our day, save us. I had not been baptized, I was lost. And finally, a passage in Romans 6, and we'll look at that in just a second. A passage in Romans chapter 6 teaches us that we are buried with Jesus by baptism into death. And don't we know that all of us that have done that have been raised from that baptism to walk in a new life? So this is the realization a person comes to. He or she understands that, and so we seek out some baptismal font somewhere, some pool of water, and you and I, if we are Christians, we have done this, and we go down into that water, and if you'll turn with me to Romans 6, and let's just look at that passage, we do exactly what is said here. Now, I know that I'm teaching something that many of us have done already, but this is exactly what we did and why. We were buried under the water. Just like being buried under the earth, we were buried under the water. We were buried with Christ. And we were raised up from the dead, as he says. Raised up from that grave of baptism to a new life. And now we are saved. Let's read Romans 6 and verses 3 through 6 here. Don't you know that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should be with him in newness of life. For if we have been planted together, here would be the idea of being in that water, being in that baptismal font. If we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That's where it happened. Remember so long ago, 37 years ago now, looking at this passage and understanding and that brilliant light going off and saying, that's exactly right. I want assurance. I like things, just like TJ said, I like things to be clear, concise. I want to know point A to point B. That's the way my mind works. And this is exactly what Paul is saying. You want a point A and a point B? You were lost. You went into the baptismal font. You went into the water. You went under the water. You were planted in the water. You were raised. Notice verse 6. The body of sin is destroyed. That point on, that henceforth, we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. So I was lost. I was baptized. I'm saved. Now, here I am. I've come up out of the water of baptism and I'm somewhere following that time. Maybe you're here today and you've not done this. This is where you are and this is where you need to be. But if you have done that, then this is where you are. You are a Christian. You are in Christ. Galatians 3. I didn't put that passage up there, but we could read it. We are baptized into Christ. You are a Christian. But you are not yet in the image of Jesus Christ. You are to a degree, to a small degree. But in reality, this is what you have to understand. And this is what I understood. And I remember the days following my baptism. I can remember sitting on the front porch, just sitting there and reading Romans. As I said, I don't know, several weeks ago somewhere in a class or in here, reading Romans for the first time. And I knew that there was so much I didn't know, but more than that, there was so much that I had not yet changed in my life. I could turn to every page of the Bible at that point in time and say, I'm not that. I didn't even know that. I'm not yet doing that. I don't even understand that. And that was most of the time. We are a Christian, and there is Jesus Christ. And that can be very daunting because I can look in here and I can see Jesus do certain things. I would see Jesus be kind to someone that, I mean, frankly, I'd like to bust in the mouth. I would see the Lord saying, do this, give, sacrifice, when frankly I don't feel that at all. I'm not like Jesus. I want to be. And that's the whole idea of repentance. I want to be. I was telling Wes the other night, and I'll share this with you. I have many times with many people. One of the things, you might think that if you come from a background of being a thief, and I was, broke into homes and all that, and you come from a background of fighting and all of that, that those would be the hardest things to give up. If you partied, and I did all that, that the, you know, the drink, the booze, and the girls, and all, would be the hard, but it wasn't. The hardest thing for me, the thing that I told Dale, I can't obey the gospel. I can't be a Christian. The thing that held me back was because there were some people that had done some things to me, and I hated their guts. And I knew, I didn't know a whole lot of things out of the Bible, but I knew the Bible teaches you to love, forgive. And I didn't feel that, not at all. That's what I mean by standing and understanding that you are not yet in the image of Jesus Christ. But that's what you're supposed to be. If you're in the book of Romans, turn over with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. And here's what God said to me. And this is what He says to all of us. For whom, and He means a whole group of people, for whom He did foreknow, He also did, and here's the word again, predestinate, like TJ read from Ephesians 1. It means to plan for. It means this is my idea for. This is what I destined you to be before it ever happens for you. What's my destiny? To be conformed. Underline that if you do, or in your mind at least, underline that. To be conformed to the image of His Son. That's just like 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Being transformed into that same image. The reality of being a Christian is you come up out of the waters of baptism and you begin to progress from glory into glory. And over a lifetime, you become more and more and more like Jesus Christ. You think like Jesus thinks. You feel like Jesus feels. You do what Jesus would do. And the more you practice that and the more you allow that process to happen, the more natural it is. You no longer think in terms of, I have to feel this way or I have to do this thing. You do it naturally. And that's what we're talking about in this whole man in the mirror and this whole process. I don't think about, I have to go to church on Sunday morning. It is part of me. I wouldn't know what to think or feel or what to do with myself if I didn't. I've gone to church so many Sunday mornings in a row now that it would be strange. It would be beyond strange just natural. When I'm kind to someone, or I forgive someone, or I do what I'm supposed to do, it's the natural thing. It's when I don't that I feel weird. Then I look at myself and I say, that's not what you are. Don't do that. Go back to the way you know you're supposed to be. It's a process. And it doesn't happen just because you come up out of the waters of baptism. That's why I made the stick men exactly the same. It's no miracle that takes place. There's nothing where God comes down out of heaven with a magic wand and taps you on the shoulder and bing, you're just like Jesus. It doesn't happen that way. It's a process. And passages in the Bible, and there are so many, I want to read a couple, not every one of them by any means that we're going to look at. But look with me in the book of 2 Peter for a moment. We'll just look at two passages out of it. Peter concludes his book by saying this in verse 18, but grow. And literally, be growing is the idea all your life. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen. Be growing. Stay in that process, becoming more and more, learning more and more, growing in the favor of God. I asked a question this morning about being favored by God. As you grow, as you age, so to speak, in Jesus, you become that old man like Daniel that an angel would come down from heaven and say, you are greatly beloved, dearly beloved by God, because you've done what it takes to get there. Go back with me to chapter 1, and we'll look at this passage again. But look at chapter 1 and read verses 3 and 4. According as His divine power, now we speak of Jesus here, of God. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Do you see that? If you step back away from that and you say, wait a minute. You mean there are principles in here for everything I do? Now, this is something that I really had to press on my own mind. You want to lose 180 pounds? You want to be what you're supposed to? You want to be able to wear this three-piece suit again? The principles are here. You don't have to go outside the Bible and say, well, the Bible is great for the Lord's Supper and baptism, but this is real life. Everything you need. I'm not saying there's not help you can get from people who know a whole lot about nutrition and exercise and all of that. Sure there are. But the principles for change are here. According as His divine power has given unto us all things, everything, that pertains unto life and godliness to be like Jesus. Through the knowledge of Him that called us, notice, to glory and virtue. God has called us, predestined us to be glorious. Notice verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises that by thee you might be partakers of the divine image, Jesus Christ, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And that lust, that desire, is with respect to every kind of desire you have about everything. We'll talk more about that later in the quarter. Notice verses 5 and following. I'm not going to read all of that. But verses 5 and following is, if you understand that basic principle, then add all of this process. In Ephesians chapter 4, and again, I won't look at this passage very much, but we will talk later in the quarter about the member in the mirror and how important it is to engage yourself as part of a group, a collective, whereby together you can pursue and grow into that fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. It's a process. I'm going to make a change for once in my life. It's going to feel real good. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to make it right. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. And no message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, you take a look at yourself and then make a change. Are you here today and you're not yet a child of God? You're not a Christian. And I put that chart up here. You've not yet gone into the waters of baptism. You know that you are lost. But you don't have to leave this place in that condition. If you believe in Jesus, that He is the Son of God, and you will confess your belief, and you want to change your life, and that's what repentance is all about. You want to be like Jesus. You want to start today to conform to that image. If today you will go into that grave of baptism, if you will allow that process, allow that commandment of God, obey it, and allow it to take your sins away, you will come up out of the water freed from all your sins, anything you've ever done, and you will begin your life in Jesus. And if you're here today and you stand there and you're looking at Jesus and you're saying, you know, I've not done what I need to do. I'm not moving along, being more and more like Christ. I want to ask for people to pray for me. We had someone do that last Sunday and I appreciated it so much. I'm doing it. I just want to stay on course. That is wonderful when someone says that. Pray for me. Help me. Won't you please come? Father, stand and sing.